Good morning to you. This is the voice of Pastor Ken Harger coming your way, and glad to be able to share with you in another broadcast time together on this second Sunday of January 2021. You've tuned me in by the way of Ionia, WIONI 1430 AM, or 92.7 FM, or over in the Lowell area, 100.3 FM. And the time to tune me in there is 8 o'clock, and I welcome each and every one of you. Others have tuned me in by the way of Greenville, WGRM 106.3 FM at 9 o'clock. And we're now streaming both the Ionia and the Greenville stations are streaming by the way of the web, and that's pretty special. Others have tuned me in by the way of internet radio at earsradio.com at 10 o'clock. I welcome you. Some are listening by the way of my website. We just did some changes on my website, but it got it set up so you can just go to PastorKenHarger.com. And then when you see messages from the Lighthouse, bring your mouse up over that and current media will show up. And you'll click on current media and the top message is the message for this morning. Whatever way you join me, I'm just so glad to have you be a part of our time together. Had to come over here Tuesday night and kind of clean up the steps going up. There's about 17 steps going up to my lighthouse. And it had a snow that had turned into ice, but it was pretty good this morning, so I'm glad for that. I want to say thank you to those that take care of the financial part of our broadcast. So a big thank you to Bill and Judy Hammond. They're from the Belden area. To Doug and Noreen Lane. They're from the Sheridan area. And to Gloria Spencer, she does it in memory of her husband Spence. That was his nickname, and she's from Orleans. And then for Shiloh Community Church, that's where I pastored for 50 years and still attend some of the services there. By our weekend of worship at Shiloh begins Saturday evening, at 6:30. Sunday morning at 9 o'clock, contemporary service at 10:45. And at Shiloh this week, because it's our Memorial Weekend, this is the time that I will be sharing the message in all three of those services. We have another campus over in Greenville that's located at the old Calvary Baptist Church, corner of Grove and Luray Street, and that service is at 11 o'clock. A big thank you to K.N. Kingsinger for picking out my music. I appreciate that so much, and she's done a good job. She just bought over all of January and February, so we're still working away on them, and we're glad to be able to share with you this morning. Our message for this morning is remembering the times in 2020 that your home became a place of sorrow. Man, there was a lot of death in 2020, and I gotta tell you, funerals were done differently. But we'll be talking about that in just a few moments. But we need to understand that we need to reflect upon the lives of those that have been a part of our life in the past. And that's what this service is going to do today, is help you remember those loved ones that maybe died in 2020, or maybe they died as ours did, or a little baby 61 years ago, or maybe a second daughter 20 years ago at age 35. It's just good to take a moment and remember them. So let's listen to a song, and this song is sharing with us the idea that we need to only know. Here we go.
Have you prayed for a loved one struggling hard with pain? You asked the Lord for healing, but that healing never came. And in spite of all your efforts, the good Lord called them home. It's hard to let go when you're trying to hold on. Now you're down in the valley, looking up to the sky. And you're praying, Lord, you know what's best, but I don't understand why. If you could hear your loved one speaking now to you, they'd say you wouldn't be grieving. If you only knew,
if you only knew, I'm just going home. Your prayers have been answered, my sickness is gone. Things look much better from heaven's view. The sun always shines, we're having a time, if you only knew.
To be absent from the body is present with the Lord. I'm in the arms of Jesus now, and I'm not suffering anymore. Hand in hand we'll stroll together down Heaven's Avenue, and we're having a big celebration. If you only knew,
if you only knew, I'm just going home. Your prayers have been answered, my sickness is gone. Things look much better from heaven's view. The sun always shines, we're having a time, if you only knew. Much better from heaven's view. The sun always shines, we're having a time, if you only knew.
What a beautiful song to start our service today, folks. If you only knew the care and concern that God has for us, for the fact of eternity. And if you only knew what God gives us in His Word, so that's what we're going to talk about this morning. We're going to take a family that was going through sorrow of the loss of a brother, and Jesus knew the family, and Jesus often spent time with the family. And there's some things we can learn from this that will help us, especially those of you that in 2020, your home became a place of sorrow. Let's just ask the Lord to bless us. I want to remember you, the listening audience. You got an unspoken request this morning. I want to remember that as well. Dear Father, as we come to you, this is not an easy message to deliver. But dear Father, I believe it's a necessary message. You are the God of all comfort. And you cried out way back in the book of Isaiah, comfort ye my people, saith the Lord. And so you want us to be a comforter to one another. I especially want to pray for those that in the listening audience, that death did come to their home this year. And their home is a place of sorrow, as they went through the holidays without that loved one. I especially want to ask you to put your loving arms around them and give them the strength of your comfort. And then, Father, as we think about that, we want to think about the listening audience. In whatever area of their life they are going through, sometimes, Father, we need physical help. Sometimes we need spiritual help. sometimes we need emotional help. And Father, I love what you have told us in your word, that we can cast all of our care upon you because you care for each one of us. And this morning, that's what we want to do. That's what I want to do, Father, is cast the care of the listening audience upon you and ask you to reach out and meet their needs according to your will. Some of them may have some unspoken requests. And right now, as they focus on their unspoken requests, I pray that you would just be pleased as I remember those unspoken requests. I don't need to know, Father, what it is. You know and they know. And right now, they're focused on that. And I just pray, Father, would you have your will known to them? Would you give them whatever they stand in need of, whether it's direction or strength or a decision they need to make? May they sense your presence, Father, right now, as you give to them the whatever they need for their unspoken requests. Pray, Father, you bless the message this morning. Pray you speak to our hearts in a very special way. In Jesus' name and for his sake, amen. Well, I thought maybe I better take a few moments just to explain why we are thinking about death and dying today. You know, when I was doing the pastoral work, I thought that's a good thing to do at least once a year. You know, we've been born, and we're all headed to die one day. We don't know when. But I think it's good to give some thought towards that. Some people don't give any thought towards that. But, you know, this morning I just thought we needed to dwell our time on that. Because, you know, about 50 years ago, I was a milkman delivering milk house to house. Can you believe that? He was able to take the milk right in the house. Many times I put it right in the refrigerator. Many times the people were gone. And I'd take the milk in, put it in the refrigerator. When it came Friday or Saturday, payday for the milk of the week, they had special little hiding places they'd put my money to pay for the milk that particular week. You know, I was doing that because I had a speech impediment, and then also I had a fear of people, so I thought that's going to help me in the ministry. So that's why I was doing that kind of work. Well, as I delivered milk, the truck went 6 days a week. So I had 3 days it went one direction and 3 days it went another direction. 3 days it was coming towards the building in that area, and 3 days it went as far as Intricon. The other 3 days. And after I delivered milk for a while, I come to realize that there was about 10 churches that people attended that I delivered milk to on my route. And, you know, I was trying to figure out what my ministry was supposed to be, and I had done a few funerals. But then I started asking the families, in your church, who does your pastor do funerals for? And I got the same answer almost every time, for the church family, for friends and family members of the church family. Does he ever do any for outside of the church? And the answer was almost always, I don't think so. No, as I started getting that report, I went to all the funeral homes in the area. And I shared with them that if somebody didn't have a church they went to, but they would like to have a pastor do a funeral service for them when a loved one passes, I'd be honored to do that. And then pretty soon I was doing lots of funerals. Pretty soon it was reaching not only my congregation at Shiloh and the family and friends of my congregation at Shiloh. Pretty soon, I really loved it because I was ministering to the community. And I wanted, our church was called Shiloh Community Church, but I wanted to reach more than the people of our area. I wanted to reach the community. And after I did the funerals for a while, I know the average pastor at that time was doing 6 to 8 funerals. And after I started doing that many funerals, I thought, I tell them in the message they should remember their loved one. So I went to our board and we talked about it, and we decided to take the second Sunday. And that would be our memorial week. We'll remember all of the people who have passed away in that particular year. So I'd get addresses and I send everybody a letter inviting them, and all of a sudden I was doing about 100 funerals, and sometimes even more than 100 funerals every year. And that memorial service was well attended. Matter of fact, they started doing it the second Sunday in January. Many people in the church started growing, kept on coming as a result of that memorial service or the funeral that I had conducted. Well, we've been doing that for now about 50 years, and this is the weekend that we do it. You know, one of the things I like to do, the reason I did that is because for twofold reasons, so to speak. First of all, you realize that we all need to think about death once in a while. But sometimes in that year, there would be a church family member that didn't lose a loved one, and I was glad for that. But I wanted to teach them how to minister to people who lost a loved one. And then I wanted them to see that they can reach out to other people in that kind of a way. And then I wanted also to let the ones know that had lost a loved one that we really cared about them. You know, as a service progressed pretty soon, now what we do is we light a candle, the name scrolls up on the screen, and the family can come and light a candle in memory of that loved one. It's got into a beautiful service, folks, of remembering. So with those thoughts in mind, I want to share with you the idea that death came, and sorrow and grief and all that comes with it, came to a family in Jesus' day. And you know, I have found out that I have certain things that seem to give me, I call comfort food or comfort ways that we care for one another. And we need comfort. I like this verse in Psalm 46:1. God is our refuge and our strength. He's a very present time help in time of trouble. And you know, I've started asking around a little bit before I started to think about this kind of an idea. But everybody's got comfort food. You know, whenever I'm sick, I don't know when this got started, but one of the things I like to have, I like to have a nice hot cup of tea. And I like to put a spoonful of sugar. And I like to take some toast and make it really dark brown. And that seems to comfort me in that particular period of time. If it's some meal that I'd like to have, when I was a kid growing up, often we had what we called macaroni and milk. Mom would cook the macaroni like you would for goulash, and then she'd put milk on it. And sometimes in the evening, for the supper meal, when I'm going through a grieving process, so to speak, I'd want that macaroni and milk. And that seemed to help in that kind of a way. There's a verse that I really like in the book of Corinthians. It says, "Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to God and our Father of the Lord Jesus. He's got compassion and he's the God of all comfort." Now, I think that God just taught me that slice of toast, kind of burnt down a little bit, and a cup of tea helps you out, then do it. He said he's able to comfort us in all the troubles we go through. And the reason he does that, in turn, it would be that you and I can be a comfort to someone else. I love the thought of the grace of God, and I love the thought of the peace of God. I love to remind myself that this is the Father of the Lord Jesus. And I love to remind myself that God is saying comfort. For my daily devotion, I found a cup, and it had that verse on it, "God is my refuge." And then I found another picture, and it didn't turn out the way I wanted to, but it still worked. It says, you know, I need a little bit of coffee. That's my wife's comfort thing is a little bit of coffee. But listen to what this rest of this little note says. But I need a whole lot of Jesus. And we do. And I think we need to realize that God is saying he wants to respond to what you're going through in this time of grief. And he wants us to understand that he really cares. The home that Jesus was a part of was Lazarus' home. In that home, there was Mary, and there was Martha, and there was Lazarus. Nothing spoken about any parents. Those three people lived together. And Jesus often would stop there and stay overnight. That was one of the homes that he would use when he was here. He taught that comfort that comes because of hope we have in Jesus, which we just talked about. And you know, in the dark tunnel of grieving process, I like to tell people grieving is one of the hardest works I've ever done in my life. But all of a sudden, his brother got sick. And then he died. They sent word to Jesus, but he didn't get there until after Lazarus had died. And then he met with Martha first. She come out to meet him. That's why he met with Martha. Mary was sitting at home. But Martha heard that Jesus was coming, and she went to meet him. Then she said to Jesus, she said, Jesus, if you would have been here, I know my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God can give you whatever you ask. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise. Martha answered, I know he will rise in the resurrection on the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, and even though he dies, he will live again if he believes in me. Then he says, Martha, do you believe this? Martha said, yes, Lord. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who has come into the world. Martha shared these things, as two things that she knew. She knew that whatever Jesus asked the Father to do, he would do it for Jesus. And she wanted Jesus to ask the Father about her brother Lazarus, who she is missing. He'd been dead now for about 4 days. And I know my brother will rise again in the resurrection time. But Jesus wanted to take her further to know that in your heart you can have this promise that even though you die, yet you're going to live. And the way that promise comes to us and the way that hope comes to us is by believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he came into the world to give us that eternal life. I love the thought when Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. You need to know that this morning. I need to know that this morning because it makes a lot of difference how we face the reality of the death of our loved ones and the death of ourselves. You know that resurrection story that Martha shared, that Jesus shared with Martha, caused her to want to go get her sister. I love that. Her sister is still in the house, and she heard Jesus say, I'm the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And they knew, she knew, and she wanted Mary to know, our brother believed in this one, Jesus. Listen to what it tells us about it, because we can learn some things from this, excuse me, that will help us as well. And when she said these things, she went on her way secretly and called Mary, her sister, saying, the teacher has come and is calling for you. And as soon as Mary heard that, she rose quickly and came to him. Now Jesus had not come into the town, but was at the place where Martha had met him. Then the Jews who were with her in the house and comforting her, when they saw that Mary rose up quickly and went out for it, they followed her, saying, she's going to the tomb to weep there for a little while. But then when Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet and said to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died. And he said, where have you laid him? And they said to him, Lord, come and see. And then Jesus wept. when he saw the Jews that had, was loving on Mary, they were weeping. And then Jesus wept. And I'm sure Mary and Martha were weeping as they told this story. And you know, the people surrounding them said this thought, look how much Jesus loved Lazarus. I love it that there were people in the house grieving with Mary. That's one of the things that has been bad about COVID. Not only that you couldn't have all the people that you wanted at your funeral, but you know, I don't know, maybe it would be better when we get past this thing called COVID. Maybe more people will be interested in thinking that the funeral is a valuable thing. Because we're getting kind of lax about not having funerals as a people. And then when we couldn't have them, we realized how much we're missing. And you know what you miss is in those visitation time, when all the other neighbors and family and friends and people he worked with or she worked with, when they come in and share their sympathy, that's a big help. And maybe some even share a memory of something that happened between that person and your loved one. And that really helps. And you know, all these people were weeping. The people that were with Mary was weeping. Martha was weeping. Mary was weeping. And all of a sudden, the shortest verse in the Bible, Jesus wept. I love that. You know what, folks? He felt the groaning that they were going through. I love that picture of Jesus. First of all, he groaned, the scripture says. And secondly, he wept. You know what he's saying? I feel your pain. I feel your pain. And I'm concerned for your pain. You know what? Jesus wants us to know that whatever you're going through this morning in your life, and especially those of you that's lost a loved one, you know what, folks? Jesus knows what it is to die. God the Father knows what it is to die. And he's the God the Father is the God of all comfort. And he wants to reach out to you in your time of sorrow and grief and give you some encouragement and some strength. Well, we need to listen to another song, because I got one that says, go rest high in the mountain. You know, I hear this song quite often as I do funerals. And you know, this song has been a source of comfort and strength to many people through the years. And I'll just talk a little bit as this song begins to play, because the comfort comes to us as we realize the person isn't suffering anymore. Not going through all the pain and agony they were going through. I've heard that hundreds and thousands of times. They're in a better place. We got to hang on to that. Let's listen to this song, and I'll be right back and share with you.
Know the pain gathered round your grave to grieve. Wish I could see angels' faces when they hear your sweet voice.
Father, and go to the Son. God wants us to understand in that beautiful picture he painted for us of the Lord Jesus standing there with people that were weeping and grieving, and Jesus felt a pain so strong that he groaned within his spirit and tears came in his eyes. He felt their pain. I want you to learn this morning. Jesus feels your pain. When you're going through grief and sorrow, Jesus, you get to see a side of him that you would never see otherwise. It was Jesus who said, "Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted." Can you imagine that the shortest verse in the Bible is Jesus wept? And when did he weep? He wept because of Lazarus, his friend. I believe he's going to weep. I believe part of that weeping was because he's going to bring him back to life and then he's going to have to die again. But I believe part of that weeping was for Mary and Martha. I think a part of that weeping was for the friends and family of Mary and Martha. You know what the Bible says after it said Jesus wept? Jesus was deeply moved again. Did you hear that? Jesus was deeply moved again. Jesus was moved from within himself. I believe he groaned, and Jesus said, Jesus said, let's go to the tomb. And when they got to the tomb, and I'm so glad Jesus visited the tomb. You know what it was? There was a cave with a stone covering the entrance. Jesus said to them, take away the stone. Martha said, the sister told Jesus, Lord, there's been almost 4 days. By now, there's probably some stench. Jesus said to her, didn't I tell you? And if you believe, you will see the glory of God. So the stone was moved from the entrance of the tomb. Jesus looked up and he said, Father, I thank you for hearing me. I know that you always hear me. However, I said that so this crowd of people standing here will believe that you sent me. After Jesus had said this, he shouted with a loud voice and he said, Lazarus, come out. And the dead man came out. He had strips of cloth, which they did in those days, wound around his feet and hands, and his face was wrapped with a napkin. Jesus told them, unloose him from all that cloth. Man, I don't know about you, but I think I'd love to have been there and seen that happen. And I think I would have been on my knees saying, what a wonderful power Jesus has. What a wonderful person he is. And he cares for you. And he cares for me. And he cares for what we're going through. I need to share a few of my personal thoughts as I read this story. I can see the compassionate side of the Lord Jesus. As he groans and as he weeps with these people, I see him as he prays to God, the Father. I see him as he's standing right there at the burial spot. Sometimes I do that. I need to stand by the burial spot of my loved ones. And then Jesus reminds us, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. I love what he says in Psalm number 23. He himself gives comfort to the sheep as they go through the valley of the shadow of darkness, of death. But he says the tools of the shepherd give comfort to the sheep. And remember what Jesus said? I'm the good shepherd. And the good shepherd gives us comfort because of his presence. That group of people right there at the tomb of Lazarus was comforted because of Jesus' presence. They was comforted also because they see the power that he has. He made a dead man walk, folks. I don't know about you, but I got to tell you, anybody can make a dead man walk, I believe, deserves our attention. I love it what Jesus said. I am the resurrection and the life. And I love it when Jesus talked about him dying. He said, if I die, I will rise again. And 3 days later, he came out of that tomb to tell us. The last chapter is not a cemetery. The last chapter is not a funeral service. The last chapter is not death. The last chapter is resurrection. And right there, Jesus used the tools of his power. As he said with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. And Lazarus came out. I love that. I love that because that's the hope that God gives to us. You know, there's a portion of scripture that says this to us in the book of John. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God. And they that hear his voice shall live. You know, somebody has said, and I think they're probably right, if Jesus had not said, Lazarus, come out, he probably would have brought all the dead people back alive. Matter of fact, when he died on the cross, some people did come back to life and went in and testified to the cities around there that Jesus, who he was and why he died. And that's our hope. You know what? From what Jesus did for Lazarus, God is saying to you this morning, and God is saying to me, I want you to know that even if you do die, I told you, you shall live. And even if the body's been laying in the grave, going to hear the voice of God. And when he hears that voice, all of a sudden, there's going to be resurrection. You know what God says in another portion of Scripture? He said, there'll be the trump of God shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And then if you and I are alive, we shall be caught up to meet with them in the air. God says when his son comes back, the dead in Christ are going to rise first, but like a twinkling of an eye, a few moments later, you and I are going to rise right up out of this world without dying. I've always prayed that Jesus would come when I was alive. And you know what my prayer was when I started doing so many funerals? You know, in my 62 years of being a pastor, I have laid over 5,000 people to rest. I got to tell you, folks, many of them I knew. Many of them I didn't know. I got to know as I met with the family. You know, when I started doing funerals, I started thinking, everybody's got a story to tell. And everybody's story is important. And everybody's story should be told. So when I do a funeral service, I want to tell that person's story. The story of their life. I believe that's important. I believe the Bible is the Word of God with all my heart. But I also believe the Bible is a book of memories. Everybody I study about, including Jesus, has lived over 2,000 years ago. And I'm still talking about them. That's precious. And I'm still telling their story. All the stories there are in the Bible with the disciples and all the whole Old Testament and the New Testament from Acts on, it's stories about people's lives. And your loved one has a story to tell. And every day you live, you're writing the story of your life. And God wants us to have a good story to tell. And you know what? I've told people, my prayer to God was, the amount of funerals I do, dear God, if you're going to come while I'm still alive, would you come while I'm doing a funeral service in the cemetery? Would you come at that time where I can see all the dead in Christ rise? That's our hope, folks. And that's what we need to hang on to. And that's something that is very special to each and every one of us. Well, I got a few more thoughts I want to share with you before my time is gone. And so we need to move along. But you know what? I love it that Lazarus came out. You're going to go back to that verse I shared at the first part. Blessed be the God of our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercy and of God of comfort, who comforts us in all of our afflictions, so that we'll be able to comfort those that are in any affliction with the comfort we receive ourselves of the comfort we receive from God. I love the thought that the Father of the Lord Jesus is our comforter. I love that he reaches out to us in mercy and peace and all those things that is a part of him. But you know what? I believe this comforting thing is a circle God wants us to do. I believe this is the way I believe it works. I've experienced it in my own life. And I've seen it over and over again when I share with somebody else and they turn around and do that too. God is saying, I'm going to comfort you. And when I comfort you, one of the reasons I want to do that is because I want you to comfort others. Sometimes God uses a person to comfort one another. And he says, I want you to reach out and comfort to somebody else. But you know what he promises? As you comfort that individual, you know what I found? As you comfort that individual that's going through a loss similar to your loss, all of a sudden God comforts you again. He gives that comfort as you comfort someone else. And that's a circle of comfort that I call it, because I believe that's what God wants to do through your life and in your life, and cause you to realize that you need to reach out to somebody else. He's the God of all comfort. And sometimes he uses you and the experiences you've gone through. And you know, if you're willing to talk about it and you're willing to share with somebody else how you got comforted and how you've made it through this tremendous grief that you're going through, I got to tell you, folks, when you help somebody else, that's very special. And then you see the full circle of what God is able to do. Well, I'd like to share one more thing before I close for today. And that is a realization that at the church, when I was telling you about, we do those services, and people get to light a candle in memory of their loved one. And in the services this Saturday and Sunday, what I'll be sharing with people is, when you light a candle, mention their name. Their name is important, isn't it? I really don't want to mess up on anybody's name when I do a funeral. I may mess up on the family's names that are left behind, because some of them's hard for me to pronounce. But I really don't want to mess up. Matter of fact, you know what I do? I always ask a question before I do a funeral of the family. Did she or he always go by their given name? Because I do remember once that I did a funeral years ago, and he never went by his given name. And they said, that seems strange for me to be calling him a name that nobody else knew him by. The name is important. The second thing I like to do, as you remember your loved one, and as people come to light a candle, I'm going to ask him to do the second thing, speak their name, and then speak the relationship. That's precious. I don't know if you learned this yet or not, folks, but the relationship's a survivor. Do you realize that my mom is still my mom, even though she's been gone for 17 years? 18 years, almost. Do you know our daughter that we never got the privilege to raise? She only lived for 2.5 hours. But you know what? Did you hear what I said? She's still my daughter. Even though I didn't get to raise her, she's our daughter. Our daughter that died 20 years ago, she's still our daughter. I want you to think of that today when you think of your loved one. Mention their name and mention the relationship. You need to say, Mom, even if you're 85, like me. When I say Mom, I get memories back in my mind of that special lady. You know what? I don't feel bad about saying that stuff. You know why I don't? Because one day the Lord Jesus was doing a feast of what was called the Passover. And one day Jesus took a cup and he said, this cup represents my blood that I'm going to shed for you. Know what he said next? This do in remembrance of me. You know what, folks? He took a little piece of bread and he said, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Now, I want to tell you, that's called the Lord's Supper. That's called communion. And you know something? It's not saying we should remember that Jesus died. It should remember Jesus. Remember Jesus. That's what we want to remember, is our relationship with him and his relationship with us. And we well remember. I tell people the memory is made up of things they said, things they did, and things you did with them. And we need to remember them. And one more thing before we go, you know what? I really love this because I got some of these things and they were precious to me. Well, a woman died in the book of Acts, and Peter was called to come there. And you know, when the women were there, the widows, and they were all weeping. And then they went to her closet and they got out so many garments that she had made. She was a seamstress. And they took out things and said, these were made by her. And you know what, folks? When I find somebody did those kinds of things, some of the most precious gifts I've ever received is when somebody made something. You know, when that person is gone, I like to share with people, that's a part of them. They made those things with their hand. It's a part of what your relationship was with them and their relationship was with you. Now, I got to go back as I wrap up the service for today and tell you, the grieving process is the hardest work that I've ever done. It's hard to grieve those that we love and those that's no longer a part of our life. When we let go, we can hang on to some of these things that I've just shared with you that helps us to have something to hang on to because we got to let go of them. Now, in the closing song, we have the idea that as you're traveling through this grieving process, it's a you become tired. It's a weary road, folks. It's a very weary road. And my heart goes out to you that's lost a loved one today. And I just ask God's blessing and comfort to be upon you. Bye-bye.
I know this journey we are on can get so weary and so long. But Jesus said, I've gone on ahead to prepare a place for you.